The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
And good morning. I'm Gary Randall. Thank you so much for joining me today. It's Wednesday, March the 27th, 2024, in the year of our Lord. Today in 1513, Spanish explorer Juan Ponce de Leon, he sighted present-day Florida. I have to mention this. I would be amiss if I didn't. Many of you know he was really looking for the Fountain of Youth. He was getting a little older, and he didn't think he liked the prospect of that, so if he could just find that Fountain of Youth, then he could just sustain his youth forever and ever. Did that ever cross your mind? I've heard older people say that before. I have no idea. I'm still quite... No, he was looking for the Fountain of Youth. A lot of people are still looking for that. Today in 1625, Charles I acceded to the English throne upon the death of James I. King James. Today in 1794, Congress approved, quote, an act to provide a naval armament of 6 armed ships. Today in 1912, First Lady Helen Huron Taft, President Taft's wife, and the wife of Japan's ambassador to the United States planted the first 2 of 3,000 cherry trees given to the U.S. as a gift by the mayor of Tokyo. When you see our capital and all of the grounds around it all just in blossom as it is each spring with those thousands of cherry trees, now you know how they got there. Today in 1964, Alaska was hit by a magnitude 9.2 earthquake. It was the strongest on record in North America. It was felt far and wide, including in the Seattle area. Today in 1975, construction began on the Trans-Alaska Pipeline. That was completed 2 years later. That's the pipeline that was, they were guaranteeing, the activists were guaranteeing that all of the reindeer were going to go away. Santa Claus would not have any reindeer to pull his sleigh. They did. They said that the herds would be destroyed. Today, aerial views show there's more reindeer in that area than ever before. Polar bears are thriving, and the little animals that live in the snow and the ice are doing just great. Today in 1975, the transatlantic pipeline was completed. Today in 2018, retired Supreme Court Justice John Paul Stevens, he wrote an essay for the New York Times website. In the essay, he was calling for the repeal of the Second Amendment to allow for significant gun control legislation. And today in 2019, Facebook said it was extending its ban on hate speech to prohibit the promotion and support of white nationalism and white separatism. So if we could just get rid of the Second Amendment, and if we could shut people down from saying what they really believe, free speech, what a wonderful world it would be. No guns, no free speech. People would just be quiet, shut up, stay in line, and march when told to march. That's what the left wants. I know that sounds radical, but it's true. That is where they're coming from, and that's the agenda. That's behind the decisions that the left makes in this country and other countries as well. Certainly history proves that. But there is that movement because they have an elitist attitude about them, secular, humanist, elitist attitude that drives them to these kinds of things. They don't trust the people. The people can't have guns because somebody's killing somebody. It happens all the time. We can't have guns. Well, we can't have people expressing themselves and their views because we don't want this separatism and this white nationalism and so on in our culture. We've got to clean it up so that everybody's the same. They drive a gray car. They go to work at the same time. They get off at the same time. They get 8 days vacation every year, and they hail to the person at the top, who in this case would be Joe Biden. He would love that. His wife would love it even more than Joe Biden loves it. NBC has announced that it's cutting ties with Ronna McDaniel. Now, many of you who listen to this program know that I wasn't a big fan of Ronna McDaniel for a number of reasons. But anyway, Trump, of course, asked her to resign, and she did. And she then immediately signed a contract with NBC. I thought that was kind of odd at the time. I thought, why would they do that? And then it occurred to me that they like to have, from time to time, they like to have a Republican or a conservative, quote unquote, on their staff, or at least on air with them, so they can kind of beat up on them a little bit. And really, they do. All the networks do that. Fox has a kind of a token Democrat, you know, liberal on some of their shows, and they'll go to them and they criticize, you know, what they say about it and so on. It's just a game the media plays. But the left are more vicious by far than Fox, and I'm not defending Fox, but that's just the case. So anyway, when I saw that, I thought, boy, that's kind of an odd mix. I mean, I wonder how that's going to work, because Ronna McDaniel's been pretty outspoken about things. I have personally never been sure what she really believes about politics and about conservatism and so on, but that's another matter. Anyway, NBC hired her, and I looked into that just for a few minutes. I was just curious. They had given her a contract to pay her $300,000 a year, which in the media, on-air media, that's not a big salary. But nonetheless, it's $300,000. I mean, it's a big salary to me. I've never had a $300,000 salary. If I did, I didn't know about it at the time. So anyway, it was announced, and it was a big deal, and she was going to work at NBC. Well, that didn't set well with the troops at NBC. So this Cesar Conte, who's the chairman of the NBC Universal News Corp, he wrote in an email on the 26th, yesterday, and he said, after listening to the legitimate concerns of many of you, wrote to the staff and all the employees at NBC, he said, I have decided that Ronna McDaniel will not be an NBC News contributor. So he said in his memo that the decision to hire Ms. McDaniel was driven by, this is a quote, the head of NBC Universal News Corp. He said the decision to hire her was driven by a, quote, deep commitment to presenting our audience with a widely diverse set of viewpoints and experiences. Now, if anybody believes that, you need a reset. NBC is the worst of the big media in America. They're worse than ABC and CBS. They don't want a widely diverse set of viewpoints. In fact, they refuse a widely diverse set of viewpoints. They have one viewpoint, and every news story is filtered through that one viewpoint, that one narrative. And when it comes out the other end, it is always the same. If it has to do with Donald Trump and it's good, they refuse to report on it. If it's bad, if it makes him look bad, it's a lead story. They were doing that with Reagan back in the day. And Reagan wasn't near as inflammatory as he was much smoother and more polished than Trump. But the press did the same thing with him. It didn't stick. People in America loved Reagan, and they voted him in. We voted him in a couple of times. So this is not something new, but it's simply a lie to say that we were driven by hiring Ms. McDaniel. They didn't want her as a diverse voice. They wanted her as a punching bag. I don't know if she knew that or not. I'm sure she did. If I know it, certainly she would know it. But anyway, Chuck Todd, he spoke up. He is no longer on the Meet the Press. He was the moderator of that for a number of years, as you probably know. Anyway, he's still there, and he's still on the air. He's a guest on the Meet the Press once in a while. He was on last Sunday, and he kind of got pretty hot under the collar about it, and he was talking about it. He said that it was an uncomfortable move, that he's uncomfortable with the move, because he said their contacts with the RNC under her tenure were met with gaslighting and character assassination. And Conde said the decision to hire her proved too much for too many at NBC. He said no organization, particularly a newsroom, can succeed unless it is cohesive and aligned. Aligned with what, Mr. Conte? Of course, the liberal agenda, the narrative, the news. That's why I say this so often, and it's why we do our little part here as best we can with your support, to talk about the news from a biblical perspective, because there is only one agenda in the news, and it isn't news. It's to reshape America, to make it into something that it is not today and that the founders never intended for it to become. When Rachel Maddow, who's on MSNBC, which is NBC News Channel, when she heard about this, she spoke up very strongly. She said, Maddow said, quote, "Take a minute." She was talking to her bosses at this point. I think she's the highest rated person they have on there, which isn't tremendously high rated, but I think she's the highest rated one. She said, "Take a minute, acknowledge that maybe it wasn't the right call." She said that Monday night. She said, "It's a sign of strength, not weakness, to acknowledge when you're wrong." And then she said this, "Our country needs us to be strong right now. Our country needs us, the left. The left is dismantling this country. We don't need them to be strong. We need them to get out of the way. They're not progressive. They're regressive. Everything they do is regressive. That's why I have such strong feelings about biblical truth in the culture. Because every culture will self-destruct if there isn't some guiding light there that is bigger than they are. And that guiding light is, in fact, God Almighty. And to the degree that God is honored, a culture thrives. To the degree that God is cursed and set aside, a culture fails. History proves that every time. And America is in the process of proving that now, unless we can get our act together. And I'm not talking about Donald Trump. I'm talking about America. And I'm talking about values and principles that a nation can be built upon. Otherwise, we are building on the sand. And I'll come back to that a little bit later. But that's what's going on. Some of the things that's going on in our world as we speak. You know, the woke people, the so-called secular progressives, they're some of the most miserable people on earth. They really are. In fact, the woke left is vocal and they're passionate. You would think they have found the answer. Eureka. They drive normal people insane with their extreme social justice warrior crusades, which, when it's all stripped down, those are quintessential first world problems, not third world problems. Town Hall wrote an article yesterday, published an article yesterday. They said they will move heaven and earth to shut down food trucks that sell empanadas because the owners are white, but do little to house illegal aliens roaming their neighborhoods. They will have the gall to complain about the construction of hundreds of African water wells because the person footing the bill is a rich, white, online influencer. These aren't serious people, Town Hall says. They have the motherlode of mental problems. They're right. They do. The woke leftist worldview is collapsing under the weight of reality and truth. And the woke leftists are the most miserable people on earth. In fact, a new study from Finland found the woke are the most miserable people on earth. And they published this. I want to talk to you a little bit about it. Town Hall, in their article about this, is they're asking the question, did we really need a new study about this to know about this? The New York Post wrote quite a lengthy, in-depth story about this. And they're question the New York Post is about this matter is ignorance bliss? It can be if you get deep enough into the weeds and be misinformed enough. You can create a false bliss for a moment. Psychological researchers in Finland have created what they call an assessment to help measure an individual's commitment to principles of social justice and made some very surprising findings across the Finnish population. I know Finland isn't America. I understand that. But people are people. I've been with a lot of people in a lot of countries over the years, not as a tourist, but as a pastor, missionary, preacher. We're all the same, pretty much. But that includes a negative correlation between progressive ideals and levels of happiness. The Post, the New York Post says this. They said, and I'm quoting them, "Their findings published in the Scandinavian Journal of Psychology suggest other Western nations may see similar patterns among their socially conscious citizens." Study author Oskari Latinen, he's a senior researcher at the INVEST Research Flagship Center at the University of Turku. He remarked that the woke discourse has since worked its way into Finnish discourse, into the culture. However, he said the most concerning finding was the relationship between mental health and agreement with the scale. And the scale was the questions they asked. Specifically, researchers found a high prevalence of anxiety and depression in people who believe the statement. Here's the statement, and here's the way it was presented. They said, if you, how do you feel about this statement? Here's the statement, quote, "If white people have on average a higher income than black people, it is because of racism." How do you feel about that? That's the way this research and this survey played out. They would ask the question and then say, how do you feel about it? It was kind of subjective, but it's interesting, the outcome of it. It was very clear, the outcome, by the way. And so they found a very high prevalence of anxiety and depression. So they would ask about, you know, if incomes are different between black people and white people, is it, it is, it not, they wouldn't ask, they would make the statement, it is because of racism. More broadly, they found that those who identified as left-wing were most likely to report lower mental well-being. They just didn't feel well about themselves and about others around them and about their conditions, about their culture. This Latinen, he warned against extrapolating their findings to international audiences just yet. He said, don't get ahead of yourself, America and Australia and Great Britain and so on. But he said, it could be true in your culture as well. Well, I could say it is true because I've watched this for quite some time. It's obvious. And as they continue to do more research, and they're going to, they'll find that it's true. He warned against extrapolating this in Western nations. Matt Vespa, who writes for Town Hall, he said, quote, "When your worldview is that everything is racist, oppression, and overall hell, how could that not impact your mental health? The worst is that these people truly think that their actions can reverse this trend when none exist. It's another habit these folks tend to wade into too far in that it warps their minds. Obsession with being on the, quote, unquote, right side of history, as if these clowns," I'm quoting Vespa, "these clowns know the direction of that arc. They don't." He's talking about the arc of history. And he said, as we've seen with transgender issues, the left was very much on the wrong side of that one. There is a backlash that's coming. End of quote. Well, it's already begun. I've mentioned that several times recently on this program. There's a backlash beginning across America on a number of fronts. Yes, we know about the political backlash. We know about the concerns about the integrity of our elections and all of that. But all of this LGBTQ plus thing, I'm telling you, it's not going to stand in the light of day because it isn't natural, it isn't normal, and you weren't born that way. And now this transgender thing is starting to really unravel because it's hideous, it is wrong, and it is destructive to little children. And it is developing a cloud of depression not over just the kids that are being subjected to this nonsense, but to the people in the culture. And America is one of the leaders in this perverseness and perversion of truth and righteousness and what God himself has created, male and female. Sky News is kind of a sister organization to Fox News here in America. They're very prominent. I don't know where they're either based in England or in Australia, but they're very prevalent. They're very influential in both places and other places as well in Europe. But Sky News got a hold of this story, and they've been reporting on it in Europe in particular, but I think in Australia as well. They said earlier this year it was revealed that more than 70 children aged 3 and 4 were sent to England's National Health Services, NHS, dedicated pediatric transgender clinic before it was shut down. Predictably, Sky News says, this sparked backlash, with many pointing out that children this young should not be going to a gender clinic in the first place. All of us common folks out here have been saying that for a long time. Why are you doing this? They say the closure of the clinic sparked the beginning of a movement in the United Kingdom to pull in the reins on this transgender agenda targeted at kids. This week, the NHS confirmed, they say, that children will no longer be prescribed puberty blockers. Going forward, puberty blockers will only be prescribed to children as part of a clinical research trials. Sky notes that these blockers are part of a so-called gender-affirming care given to people who think they're transgender. Other services include hormone therapy treatments, sex reassignment surgery. And according to Sky News, the UK government welcomed the landmark decision. They said it was made in the best interests of our children. Amen. They're right. This whole transgender movement is a house of cards. When people extricate themselves from the woke narrative the left has attached itself to, they take a closer, more clear look at this house of cards. And it's collapsing. The LGBTQIA+ is in direct defiance of nature and nature's God. People are not born that way. Do people have problems? Do we have mental issues? Of course. We're broken, sinful people outside of the grace of God until we step into the grace of God and God forgives us of our sins. He washes them away from our lives and our hearts and our being. And that is through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Our sins are forgiven when we accept his forgiveness and accept that he is who he says he is and that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. But outside of that, we live in rebellion and in defiance of nature for sure, but God himself. Now this trance house of cards is beginning to collapse. Houses built on the sand always collapse. Always. And we always tend, in our own human efforts, we always tend to want to build a house on the sand. That's the sinful nature of humanity. We shouldn't be surprised that when Jesus concludes the most famous sermon he ever preached, oh, all of them were inspired for sure. Jesus is God. But in his sermon in Matthew chapter 7, the Sermon on the Mount, he finishes with a story, which he often did, as you know. The great sermon that Jesus preached on the mountain has not been preserved simply because it was a literary masterpiece, although it is. It was inspired, inerrant, infallible. The word of the Lord. It is here for us to be acted upon. We're not just to know about it. We're to live in those truths of God. We're to step into it to make God's truth our truth. In doing so, we discover that the simple secret of an unsinkable life is hooked directly to God's word and how he tells us to live out our lives. That means that building on the right foundation, the solid rock of Christ, rather than the sinking sands of self-made, so-called progressivism, Jesus left no one who heard his sermon wondering what to do. The question was, would they build their lives on the rock, or would they build their lives on the sand? That's the decision that faces all of us every day of our lives until we make the right decision. There's going to be depression. There's going to be all of these things in life, but they are quickly overcome as we walk in Christ, in his truth, in the light of his way. So would you build a life on the sand when you know it, the first storm is going to blow it over? Or would you build on a rock that gives you a certain amount of security, a great deal of security? That's what's happening in Finland, and it's happening in America and England and Australia. The whole world is affected by what their relationship with God is. I know people say, well, Gary, yeah, you're a preacher. You have to say those things. I don't have to say anything. I chose a long time ago at a little altar in a church I grew up in that I wanted to say these things. I felt like God wanted me to say these things, and I've been saying them my whole life. Not because I have to, because I want to. I believe in the truth of God's word. I believe in God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. I believe Jesus is the answer for the world today. I deeply believe that. Oh, storms will come. Surely they'll come. They'll pass. Your house will stand if it's built on the person, the teaching, the death, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In the Bible, specifically the book of Nehemiah, we find this phrase mentioned. Nehemiah was a faithful servant of God. He faced numerous challenges and opposition as he sought to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. You probably know that story. But remember in Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10, in more modern versions, it says, "Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." Indeed it is. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Thanks for being with me today. Always a pleasure. Thank you for your support. We need it. Box 399, Bellevue, Washington, 98009. I'll see you right here tomorrow.
3-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.